guys. I'm Natasha Hurlburt. I want to say thank you for tuning in to my chat about films and with Dan here.
Welcome back, everyone, to another incredible episode of Chat with Dan. For today, I mean, what can I say? We have on the show the incredible, amazing, the badass, the superstar, the legendary Natasha. Natasha, how are you today?
Good. How are you?
Fantastic. And what better way to have an incredible, badass, legendary evening than to be chatting with someone as badass as and legendary as you? You know what I mean?
I don't know, man. I think you're the badass legendary one.
Thank you. I'll take that. I'll take that too. But yeah. Now, before we start, I do want to thank those for watching. Thank you so much. If you're new to the channel, don't forget to leave a like, subscribe, follow. But most important, in the description below, you're going to find all of Natasha's social media. Let's follow her. So you can put pause here for a while. Go follow her. Let's make her viral. Hashtag Team Natasha. She's incredible. We all know that. And without furthermore, let's jump in. So, tell me, Natasha, what's new? What's up? I mean, you've been on the show, this is the second time, and what's been new since the last time we spoke, which was like 4 months ago, something like that?
Wow, it's been a busy, if it's been 4 months, it's been a busy 4 months, yeah. So I've been in a few projects. I had a small role in a project called Grotesque 2 that we shot. They're still in production. I shot that in the beginning of June. Actually, prior to that, we had Cody Hall's music video, Firecracker, which we released on July 15th. Last I looked, I think he was at like 16,000 views on YouTube. So let's try and get him viral. He's an amazing artist. The music video from Hat Chaps was amazing. And all my cast and crew with that. Yeah. And then I also wrote and co-produced my own short film that we just shot 2 weeks ago. Okay. With a lot of my amazing colleagues. Jesus was my director and co-producer. I had Brandon Brown with 33 Visuals. I had Brandon from Widestream Media. It was the two Brandons. And then an amazing crew. And my cast, everybody was just amazing. It was filmed in my hometown, kind of about growing up in my hometown. So it was very surreal. It was amazing. We got to shut down Main Street, do some burnouts, have some fun. Like not going to give away too much of it. But yeah, so it's been a wild few months. Very, very grateful for what's been coming.
Yeah, that's epic. And the fact that you keep killing it out there, that's even like more amazing. You know what I mean?
Thank you.
That's really cool. And yeah, the music video is pretty cool. I did watch it. And yeah, it was fun. I like it.
And actually, since we were just talking about country music before we went live, there you go. There's a little taste of the Alberta country music.
Okay. Yeah, it's good. You know, it's different from what I hear because, well, here in Mexico, where I was born, I got never the chance to hear any of it. I mean, it was super rare because I lived more in the in the center side, which would be like my center and not more to the north, which for you would be your south. I mean, it's crazy, but anyway, but more there will be like more country. And I actually one of my best friends, he's a huge sucker for country, but huge. And I started to listen to country because of him. And every now and then I would be like, why are you listening to that? And he would be telling me, well, because it's the best thing. And I was like, okay, interesting. So yeah.
It's a lifestyle.
I agree on that. Yeah. I like it. But who knows? We'll see what happens once I'm there. Right. Now, tell me. Can you share a particular movie that inspired you to pursue acting as a career? I mean, did that ever happen, for example?
I'm sure it did. And you know what? I was actually just thinking about it the other day. But it is completely lost. Like it's gone from my mind. I'm terrible for that. But it was when I was younger and I watched something and just, I wanted to do it. I didn't know how, I didn't know what, I didn't know anything about it. I just looked fun and I craved it ever since. Mm. Kind of a little tick to myself that my brain is shutting off, but you know, maybe we'll be going through it. I'll be like, that's what it is.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, there was definitely a moment for sure.
Mm, that's pretty cool. And do you remember back when you were little, what kind of TV shows you used to watch or the type of film you used to watch back then?
I kind of watched everything. I was spoiled as a kid. So I had a TV in my room with a VCR.
That's pretty cool.
And I had movies galore. Like I was a Disney. I was one of those girls. I loved the Disney movies.
Mm-hmm.
But then, you know, we still had video stores where we could go and rent videos. And I don't know how many times a week I'd go and rent, you know, go down to the store and rent something, right?
Yeah.
So my if I look back at anything now, and actually the short film I wrote is based in 1997. It was, and I was very particular about it. It needed to be nostalgic to the 90s movies because that's what I watched a lot, like as a teenager growing up. Those were the movies that I rented all the time.
Yeah.
So if I look back at any kind of era or genre of movie, like I always gravitate back that way. Mm. And I don't know. It's just, it's nostalgic for me.
Yeah. Yeah. It's, yeah, I can understand that. I mean, those days were good, you know, when you would go to the video store. And then you were meeting also it at some point it became kind of the social place because then your friends and people you knew would mm-hmm. come there to pick what's new. And then you needed to hurry because if you don't deliver it on the time that you're supposed to deliver, then you will be paying, you know, like a fee or something like that.
And be kind, rewind.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
You
yeah,
did
yeah.
not rewind it.
Yeah, yeah. And then DVD came and it was also like the new thing, like, oh, you know, that's pretty cool. Yeah. Yeah, those were fun days. You know, my mom actually I don't know why, but the other day I was at her place, just looking at some stuff, and then I found a box with our old VCR and the old movie she used to put to us back when we were little. And I was like, "Why are you having this?" And then she was like, "Well, because I know that at some point you're going to have kids, and you better put those movies to them." And I'm like, "Okay, but I don't mm-hmm. know that." When that happens, I'll be able to connect the VCR, but we'll see. You know, maybe there's a way to do it. We'll find out.
Amazon, there's adapters for everything.
Yeah, or the second thing my mom told me is that you can take the old TV, which we still have it there. It's old and dusty, but still work. But it's still working perfectly. So,
yeah, exactly.
Yeah, crazy.
There's always ways around it.
Yeah, yeah, but it's funny, and yeah, those days were pretty cool. I think those days too got the those moments were special because then you got the film and then all your family will gather around and watch it, you know, mm-hmm. and, you know, as it now, which, I mean, don't get me wrong. I love the fact that you can watch a film in your phone now, but I do think that sometimes it kind of misses the whole excitement to gather around and watch stuff because now you will see, for example, a couple of years ago, I had a family reunion and my little cousins were with their iPads watching some stuff. My mom was watching her stuff with her own iPad, and my cousin too. And I was just like, okay, if everyone's gonna do the same thing, I'm gonna do it too. So, you know, so yeah. Anyway,
no, I agree. Like this, the streaming services are amazing. Like,
yeah.
You know, you can watch anything you want, whenever you want. No stupid commercials. Absolutely hated those as a kid.
Oh yeah.
As an adult too, like who am I kidding? I'm too impatient, but I think they robbed us of a lot because of that. You know, there was a joy. There was something about going to the store. Is that copy? How many copies of that one movie that was just released? How many copies do they have? Are they all rented out? Usually they were. And then you try to reserve it, you know, and then by the time you actually got to watch it, or if you're the lucky one to get it first, then you'd have a few friends over. Or there's, I don't know. There's definitely something that we've lost along the way. And like you said, nobody sits anymore and just kind of watches together and enjoys it. Everybody, well, I don't want to watch that movie, so I'm going to go in this room and watch this. Bobby Joe is back in that room and Billy Bob, you know what I mean? Like, it's
mm-hmm,
just,
mm-hmm.
yeah, it's sad. It's the good and the evil, right?
The
yin and the yang.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. You can't
have everything. I get it.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah, but you know, with the commercials, as you mentioned, back then, I remember that if you were watching a film on TV and then there were commercials, it was a perfect time to do a refill, either go for more snacks, go to the bathroom or do something else quickly so you can return. But it sucks because I remember that, I don't know, if a film started at 9 p.m., it will end up at 12 or sometimes even at 1 a.m., not because of how long the film was, but because the goddamn commercials. That every single time or in the most critical, exciting, dramatic scene, commercials. And then it come back. And because you lost that excitement, you're like, wait, where are we right now? You know? So yep. That was fun.
Yeah. Fun. Absolutely.
That was fun. Good days. Good stuff. Yeah. Now, can you name a movie that has influenced you, understanding of acting, and how did it shape your approach to roles?
Ooh, you're asking a tough one. Again, I'm crappy on the spot. But if I could say, you know, when you have Heath Ledger as the Joker, Johnny, my brain is going numb right now. like Jack Sparrow, Johnny, come on, help me out here.
You got this.
Why am I blanking right now? What's his name? Johnny.
Which one you're talking about?
Like Jack Sparrow, like the Pirates of the Caribbean.
Johnny Depp. Johnny Depp.
Thank you. Wow. There is a reason why my hair is blonde. Anyways, like Johnny Depp, any character, if I gravitate towards characters, it's characters that are out of the box, that are just kind of a little wild. There's something about, like, I think that would be 100% my dream role, is to try to prepare for somebody that is just looped right out, that's not with reality.
Mm-hmm.
And you get to explore so much more than just, you know, the everyday things. Like right now, when you prepare for a character, like most of them, they're everyday scenarios or, you know, a lot of things that most people go through in life. So you're drawing from experiences and other people's experiences. But I think, and of course, like that is the job of an actor. You need to kind of expand and create. But I think in those type of characters, you have so much more that you can work with. Like you can take things so much further than you could with, you know, just kind of an everyday story, right? So it's definitely projects like that if one day I'm able to go that direction, I'm here for it. I want it. Bring it to me right now.
I mean, we all know that is going to happen at some point.
Well, thank you. I love your positivity.
that's inevitable. Hear me on that. That's going to happen at some point. And then when it happens, then I can say, you see, I told you.
Thank you. I'll wait for that.
Yeah, that's going to happen. And for sure. Let's be positive about it.
Yeah, I will.
Now, if you were to recommend one film to aspiring actors that you believe would inspire them and perhaps teach them a little bit about the craft, which film would it be?
Wow, you're hitting me with the hard ones, hey? See, I think that's a tough one because it all depends on your own, you know, the style of film that you enjoy. Also, I think every actor does kind of have their own style as well. Like, of course, as we're starting out and whatnot, you know, we're all doing the same auditions, we're doing the same kind of characters and stuff. But deep down, I think every actor does have a specific style that they hope to do as well, right? But I don't know, like there's movies, for me, like again, it's going back to kind of the wild, like Val Kilmer in The Doors portraying Jim Morrison. Like, he knocked that out of the park, 100%. And what he did to get to that point, like when I watched his documentary, and he basically lived as Jim for months, for almost a year, I believe. But see, like, for me, that's something that inspires me. So I don't feel like I can direct a specific, you know, I can't just say to a group of actors, go watch this movie or go watch that movie. Because it might not inspire them, right? Where stuff like that, that's where I go, that is amazing. That work is incredible. Okay. And I want to do that.
All right. All right. I'll take it. I'll take that. Now, moving on here into a totally different section now. So basically no more tough questions. So for this one, I'm going to be telling you about the top. Well, it's actually top 250 films, but we're not going to cover the 250. Come on. Yeah. So we're going to just cover like a few of them. And based on that, you know, if we have watched them or not, then we can be like, you know what, this definitely has to be like on top on number one, or we could change that to number, you know, the number two to number one, or the number four to number one, you know, it depends. And, you know, just so that's it. You ready?
I'm ready. All right. I think.
All right. We're going to find out. So the first film on this list, the number one, is The Shawshank Redemption. Have you watched that?
Oh, you know, I think I saw bits and pieces of it.
Yeah.
As a teenager, but never went back to it. So I don't remember a whole lot, but it is definitely a movie that, I should actually look up and watch. It is something that I have wanted to watch for sure.
Yeah. 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 Okay. Okay. So we're going to leave that at number one for now, right? We'll see.
With the okay. Others. Sounds okay. Good.
I'll take that. At number two, we have The Godfather.
Yeah. The Godfather.
What do you think about that?
You know, that again, that's not one I know bits and pieces of it. I never sat down and watched the whole movie. It's not my genre. It's just not something that I don't think I could don't attack me, people. I don't think it's something that I could sit down and enjoy. And it's not because of the story or anything like that. Like
it's not your thing.
Performances. The little bits that I've seen, the performances are amazing. It's just not my thing.
Yeah, not your gem. I get it. We all have our own things here and there. I can, you know, my first films back when I was a kid, and like the three, like part of the first films I watched as a kid was Saving Private Ryan, The Godfather, and I think Godfather 2. The thing was, when I watched them, I mean, Saving Private Ryan is super straightforward. I mean, you know, but with The Godfather, I didn't understand any of it. You know, I was a kid back then. But of course, later on, I watched it, I was like, oh, okay, makes sense now. And also because since I watched them since I was little, when I rewatch them, it kind of brings me that nostalgia as, you know, as I was a kid, you know, it like has like an extra touch on it. And it makes
absolutely.
Okay, actually, I enjoy those films. So,
yeah, for sure.
Maybe that's why I ended up being not a very good kid, but that's another story.
That's another discussion.
That's another discussion. Right. So at number three, The Dark Knight.
Oh, yep. Again, Mr. Ledger.
Would you put that, would you leave it at number three, or would you step it up on your list to top two or top one either?
Well, to be fair, like I would definitely bump it above The Godfather. Again, people, don't attack me. It's unfair to say on number one, just because I can't say that I 100% have watched that. Right. Totally. But I'm sorry, that performance, I remember going to The Dark Knight in the theater. Actually, me and my dad went and watched that. And I remember sitting in the theater and I went, holy crap. You know, when a movie is just so good and it gives you all the feels and you just, you don't want the movie to end. It was that, like, the Joker. I'm sorry, that nobody will ever give that performance to the Joker that Heath did. That is a top one for me.
What do you think about the Joker from Joaquin Phoenix?
I started watching it. I have kids now, so it's hard for me to sit down and watch a full movie.
Yeah, I get it. Yeah. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I think I started it and then my husband ended up finishing it without me. So I didn't get to watch it. So I can't really say. I just saw like the very, very beginning of it. But again, one that I do want to watch. I've heard mixed reviews on it.
Yeah.
But also, we just went and watched the Barbie movie with my daughter, me and one of my girlfriends and her kids the other night. And there's so many mixed reviews on that thing. Like, I didn't know. There's so many reviews on Instagram and Facebook on this damn movie that before I went to it, I didn't even know how I should be, you know, thinking of it before I even watched it. And I felt that kind of almost ruined it a little bit for me. Yeah. Like if I had seen it before, I'd seen any of that. You know, I was basically going into it looking for these things that people are complaining about instead of just enjoying a movie. Right. So, yeah.
Yeah. No, I get it. I mean, usually for me, when I want to watch a film, I don't pay attention to reviews at all. At least once I watched it, then yeah, I'm going to check on some reviews here and there. But before it, no, because I've had terrible, terrible experiences that by watching previous reviews, sometimes they will contain spoilers, or sometimes, as you say, yeah, they put it in a way that when you watch it, you're like, it starts to have you like second thoughts, and then because of some other review that you watched before, instead of creating your own, you know what I mean? So
exactly,
yeah. And you know, like with the whole Barbie film, I do want to watch it, but I just haven't, like the first time a couple of weeks ago, a couple of days ago, I wanted to watch it. I was like, I'm going to watch it, you know, because I want to see what the fuss is about. So I was planning to watch it, but then the cinema that is kind of close where I live got shut down because people went really crazy on that film, that they even were like looting the place to steal the cups for the film, you know, like whenever they release a film, they would, you know, put like some special cups or like things like that. And people went crazy for them, and they started to stealing them, or workers there were hiding them so they can resell them all like elsewhere. And I was like, why? So they had to, so they kind of canceled like the whole thing. And then by the second time I was like, okay, now I'm going to watch it. I went there, and they, because of the whole bad weather conditions, they had to close. And I was like, okay, maybe destiny's telling me that I'm not prepared
yet. You don't have to watch this movie.
And I don't get to watch this movie on theaters. Maybe I'm going to be ended up watching it on streaming service at some point. We'll see. But yeah. So it's a bummer because I do want to watch that film. But anyway. Moving on here. The next one we have here on the list is, and I haven't watched that film, it's 12 Angry Men.
I haven't even heard of that one. Who's in that?
It's from 1957.
Okay, fair enough. I don't know that movie.
Yeah, I mean it's a classic from. I mean, some actors have that I've interviewed have told me that it is an actual classic, but I have never seen it though.
See, you know, I feel like I'm almost one of those, I guess you could say, not, I don't know, is ignorant actor the right term? Like, I've sat down with colleagues, like, you know, actor colleagues and stuff,
yeah,
and they'll start rambling off about films, and they'll start rambling off about directors and this and that. And I'm just like, okay. You know, like, I don't retain the knowledge like that. But then I also, I don't know, like, some people are just film buffs, right? And they love that. And I guess I didn't get as deep into the wormhole that way. So I don't know. Maybe that's a bad thing. I don't know.
No, I mean, I do get it, because the same thing happens to me sometimes whenever the whole interviews, that sometimes I will interview people who really know, like, who really, 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 really know stuff. and they will be taking, and then they will be telling me like, yeah, like on this film, do you remember it? And I'll be like, yeah, sure.
Yeah.
But I haven't watched it at all. I'm like, okay, I need to watch that. Okay. And then I will put it on my list, and then they will mention other, or the performance with this actor, with this director and things like that. I'm like, how do you even know that? You know, like,
I know.
Yeah. It's crazy. I mean, I can understand that. I can understand that, that some people get like really into the whole industry, and that's fine. But for example, is like in everything, you know, I have met people, for example, back when I was in college, I used to do like the whole DJ stuff and everything. And I remember that there were some people that they were telling me about, yeah, like this guy created this song with this collaboration, and it was a mix between this and that. But I was just focused on doing my thing, and that's it, you know, and I was good at it. People liked it. And I was like, if people like what I do, then that's the goal. You know, I'm good.
Exactly.
I'm good. You know, I'm good on what I do. And if maybe I don't know much about the whole who did this, who did that, but that doesn't make me like a bad one, or like something, or like someone to be treated as, oh, you don't know, you know, like things like that.
Yeah.
So I don't blame you at all. I mean, I've met like a lot of people also in acting too, and music as well, that they don't know much about other people's stuff, but they are good in what they do. And I think that's important. If you can get the job done, you know,
yeah,
good to go.
Everybody's got their own path.
Yeah, but yeah, it's funny whenever they will tell me like this type of things and be like, yeah, I did watch it, but I haven't watched it. I'm like, yeah, and I'm the type of person that when I lie, you can totally tell, because I'm like looking the other way and be like, sure, yeah, of course.
All shifty-eyed.
Yeah, like, okay, like, I'm my dog's calling me, I'll be right back, you know, like something like that. But yeah, it's crazy. Like sometimes they will come up with really cool informative stuff, and I'm like, how do you even know that? That's pretty cool.
Yeah. So absolutely.
Right. So yeah, so 12 Angry Men, we'll leave it out. We haven't watched it. So the next one here is the Schindler List.
Ooh.
Did you watch that one?
I didn't. I know the movie. Like obviously I know the name, like every yeah. If you don't know the name of that movie, you think you're living under a rock. But no, I never did watch it.
Okay. I did watch it, but I think I watched it in the wrong time at the wrong place. So back then, I don't know why they did that. So I went to Germany for a while. I stayed there for 2 years, and then they did like this whole tour. And during the tour, they will take you to some, you know, concentration camps. That was inevitable. But I don't know who was the genius who thought that putting that film before going there was a good idea, because it was not a good idea. It was the worst idea ever. Because like once when you were there, I mean, it was inevitable for you to feel sad, you know, like the whole, I remember yeah. that the whole group of people who were on the bus, we were like singing and watching the film, be like, okay, it's going to be interesting and things like that. Like, oh, okay. And once we got back from it, everyone was quiet. Some people were even crying too. And I was like, that's so messed up. So yeah, I was still wondering who was the idiot who thought that it was a good idea to put that film before going to that place. But anyway, not cool.
They just, they want you to feel it, man. It was, yeah, I don't know. That's a whole nother discussion over there on that one.
The guy
wants you to have the full experience.
No, yeah, but I hate people like that, you know. Or for example, let's say you go on a trip on bus, and then they will put you a film from people who steal, who hijacks buses or things like that, and I'm like, are you kidding me now, you know? Or they're gonna put a film about a serial killer who lives in the middle of nowhere, and it's a coincidence that you're traveling in the night at that moment. You're like, what else can go wrong at that point?
Man, I don't know what tour companies you're going with, but give me the names, because I'm going to stay away from
them. It's horrible. Back when I was little, no, check this story. This is even worse. Back when I was little, Titanic was already on the whole VHS, right? So we went on this trip with my family and some other school.
You nailed it.
Huh?
Sorry, you nailed it. Titanic.
Yeah, Titanic.
Titanic. My movie as a kid that I wanted to do it. You, thank you. I'm sorry. I don't mean to interrupt your story.
No, that is
Titanic. And actually that goes back to watching Barbie last week, because we were in the theater in town here, and it's been years since I've watched a movie there. And it reminded me, I think, so what was that, like 97? I was like 10 years old. I think I watched Titanic probably like 20 times in that theater. Like, no shitting. And that's what, a 3-hour movie? And yeah, that was one that was like, I want to do this.
There you go.
Yeah. Anyway, sorry, what was your story?
No, because Titanic actually ruined my experience. So this is what happened. So we went on this trip also. And then the idiot guy who was in charge of the films thought we were taking a trip into an island, right? So the guy was like, I'm going to put Titanic to the people. So he put Titanic on the way to take the ferry to take the, you know, to go to the island, right? But the thing was, it wasn't a ferry. It was a mere boat, you know? And I was super little of that one. And I was super scared because my head at that moment was, if that magnificent, huge ship got sunk, what can I expect on this little boat? You know, and because I was a super kid. I remember my mom was telling me that I started crying and being like, I don't want to go there. I don't want to die. And then my mom was like, there are no icebergs. And I was like, I don't care if there's no icebergs, could be rocks there. And that little thing is not gonna survive. So hell no. And they ended up giving me like this pills for nausea, you know. Mm-hmm. Gravel. That ended up being like sleeping pills, and they got me knocked out, and then I woke up finally on the island, and I was like super frustrated. I was like, why the hell did you guys did that to me? Because then
they drugged me to get you on the island.
And yeah, I mean, actually it was a cool trip. I enjoyed it, but that was like the worst experience ever because I traveled back, there were no pills. So I was like, either you suck it up or you suck it up. So I ended up sucking it up, but it was the most horrible experience ever because I was like shaking the whole time because my head was like that. If that huge thing got sunk, what can I expect on this little thing? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, yeah. Anyway. Yeah.
Oh, jeez. I'm staying away. If you come up to Canada and you're saying, let's go on a tour, I'm staying away. I'm not going.
I tell you what, you plan the whole tour and everything. I'm not going to do anything. So no, we can
I think
avoid.
It's just you. I think it follows you.
No, I mean, it only happened a couple of times, but that was it. The rest of it was pretty cool. Yeah, no, it's, but it, you know, it gives the opportunity to share some cool stories. So, you know?
Yeah, for sure.
So that's a good thing. I mean, back then it was the most traumatic experience ever. And due to that, I wasn't able to get into, I couldn't get into a boat or even a ferry for a very long, long time until years passed, way, way years passed. I was 18 and then I met this girl and then we had to take a ferry to go to some place. And I was like, oh crap. And my head was like, okay, either I pretend that I'm pretend cool and be there, go with her.
And cool.
Not, you know, acting cool, like I got this. Or I can stay here. She can go by herself and we can, you know, call the day off. Go home. That was it. And of course I was like, no, I'm gonna go for it. So I went for it and it was a pretty cool one. It was a pretty cool experience. I was like, okay, now I like traveling boats and things like that. So yeah.
Just don't watch Titanic again. You'll be good.
Titanic. Yeah. Crazy time. Crazy times. Now, the next film here, Pulp Fiction. What do you think about that one?
Oh yes. Yes, absolutely. Yeah. There's a few other Quentin Tarantino movies like Death Proof and a couple of his other ones. Quentin is and Once Upon a Time in Hollywood.
Yeah.
I think that tops my Quentin movies. That's a movie I can sit there and just watch over and over and over and over. But Pulp Fiction, I think that's one of John Travolta's top roles.
Mm-hmm. Of all time, for sure.
Yeah, absolutely. What he got to portray there, I think that really got to showcase his talent, where I think everything else that he kind of did after that, I don't think it was, it didn't go to, you know, they were kind of comedies or this or that, right? Where that he really got to show himself off.
Yeah.
Uma gives an amazing performance as well. All of them really do, right? Like Quentin Tarantino, he knows how to pick a cast.
Yeah.
He knows what he's doing. And there's a reason why everybody is playing who they're playing.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, that is definitely on my top of all time because it is like it is really cool film.
It is. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, and I do enjoy most of current Quentin films. I mean, Django Unchained, super cool. The Inglourious Basterds, The Hateful Eight, incredible film. I love that one. I mean, yeah, it was really. I mean, definitely that has to be also like on my top, and also Once Upon a Time in Hollywood too. Super cool film. Yeah, I do enjoy his work, but I do think that he's not planning to do any other anytime soon, right? But something like that. I was checking the
I
other
think
day.
there's one more project. Isn't there one final project and he's done?
Oh, that would be cool.
Which, it's cool, but for us actors that would like to eventually work with him, it's not cool.
I mean, maybe he's saying that, but maybe at some point, you know, things change.
I think he's a man of his word. I don't think he's one of those guys where I'm going to say I'm retiring just so that I can make more money and then pop back and be surprised. I think he's a man of his word.
But let's be honest, if he got out for, let's say, what, 10, 15 years, and then out of nowhere he comes back with a film, it would be like the most success films of all time at that moment, you know what I mean?
No, he would for sure.
Yeah, that would be real cool. Now, for the next one here, this is actually one of my favorites. It's Forrest Gump.
Forrest Gump. I watched that, like I was younger when I watched that. So obviously everybody remembers, specific parts of that.
Yeah.
I think Tom's performance is superior in that one as well. The movie itself, I can't sit there and say I don't remember a lot of it, right? It's just it's I have a terrible memory. So I can, unless it's a movie that I've sat there and rewatched over and over and over again, there's people that can literally recite, they just they'll go from a whole scene and just recite it. I'm just like, I barely remember one word of that, right? So I can't speak much on the story itself, but the acting was definitely top notch for sure.
Yeah, definitely was back when Tom Hanks was on his prime. I mean, no, wait, he's always been on his prime, for sure.
I is that not, correct me if I'm wrong, what really shot him up? Like that was his breakthrough role.
I think it was, to be honest. I think it was, and then later films came like Saving Private Ryan, and that was also one of his greatest performances ever, and some other stuff that I did watch at some point, but I just forget the names of the films. But yeah, I think that was one of his first, like when he was like like doing his first gigs somehow, let's say, something like that. But yeah, that is definitely like a real cool. And it's true, everyone remembers that film in their own different way. Some people remember a particular scene better than the other ones, and that's pretty cool. Whenever you get, I mean, I would assume that as for an actor, when you were in a project that stays with people basically forever, like also like the Back to the Future franchise, you know, like those, like the trilogy. I mean, those films are gonna stay forever, like forever, and it's amazing how. Like sometimes, like this, when these new generations are watching them and they actually enjoy them as well, and you're like, that's pretty cool. You know, I do think that that is when a really good film was made. You know what I mean?
That's the dream. That's ultimately the dream for sure. For me, it's not the money, it's not the fame, it's just having a performance that
Totally.
everybody, almost everybody loves it, and they'll always go back to that movie, or people just it's like a that movie is a household name, right? Like the scenes, specific scenes are
Yeah.
anybody can just bring it up in conversation and everybody knows exactly what they're talking about, right? That's ultimately the dream.
Yeah, totally. I mean, there's nobody in this world that if he sees a DeLorean would be like, oh, that's so cool, you know? Back in college, I wanted one, but it was too damn expensive, so I wasn't able to get one. But at some point, I will, I'm pretty sure. Yeah, now. All right, so the next one's here. Okay, so yeah, the next one would be Saving Private Ryan, which was in 1998. Did you watch the film?
Again, I did, but I was at that point, I was 11.
Yeah, I get you. Right? I get you.
And it's I'm not war movies. There's some war movies that I really enjoy. But I'm not a big war movie person.
Yeah, I get it. What about The Green Mile?
I remember The Green Mile. I enjoyed that one. Oh, what's the actor's name?
Which one? I have it here. So the cast for this film was, check this out. We got Tom Hanks, Michael Clark Duncan, David Morse.
Is Michael Clark Duncan basically the lead, like the guy on death row?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. John Coffey. Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah. He's this right? Big dude, right? Like you think that like you're not messing with him, and then he's just the softest, sweetest person ever. I remember that movie very well, but like forget pieces of it, but I remember enjoying it.
Yeah, that was a really cool one. He passed away, isn't it, on 2012, now that I'm seeing here. Michael
Yeah, Clark, now that you say that, I do think I remember
Duncan. Yeah, he passed away on 2012. And he did a lot of epic films. Green Mile, Armageddon, Sin City, The Whole Nine Yards. Yeah.
See, I enjoyed Armageddon. That was a movie that I've watched a couple times.
yeah, that was a good one too.
I think it's like I'm gonna be that kind of stereotypical 90s girl, well, 80s growing up in the 90s girl, right?
Yeah.
So the movies like Armageddon and stuff like that, those were the movies that I watched more of than kind of the other ones.
Yeah, that's your jam.
That is.
And I saw the other day that because of the whole alien thing that got out last week, I think, those type of films are restarting to gain knowledge.
Alien thing? Where is there? I missed something. There's new,
yeah,
new
so,
things out?
I mean, maybe I'm wrong, but it was something because I didn't pay too much attention to it, but it was something about that. Apparently the US government confirmed that there are aliens around us or that aliens exist. Something like that was. And then it opened the door for a lot of memes, of course. And I mean, mostly memes. But all of the space films started to regain force again because of the whole tendency now. So people started to rewatch them again, you know? So,
people, haven't you learned? Don't trust the US government.
But that was a fun one. I mean, I
remember they're never telling us the truth.
Yeah, they're never gonna tell us the truth. But it was a pretty, like, when I saw that news, I was like, okay, what else is new? I mean, I did enjoy it mainly for the memes because the memes were hilarious. I love them. And also, as I was saying, the fact that now space films were getting force again, I was like, okay, so now I can, for example, Armageddon and films like that that. That at some point I did watch them, but I forgot about them. I was like, okay, I'm going to watch them now again. So that's something good.
Independence Day.
Oh, yeah.
Good old Will Smith.
Yeah. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. That film too. Yeah. Actually, yeah, Independence Day, I think the most shocking scene was when they blow like the whole White House. People were like, whoa, that's crazy, you know? Good effects on that one. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. Totally was that not a Michael Bay movie?
Because of the explosions?
Well, Independence Day.
All right. I bet you, before you see, I bet you $2 that is not his. You're up for the bet?
No. Yes. Yes. No. I don't know.
All right. So we will leave it. So no bet.
No, Roland Emmerich.
Roland Emmerich.
For some reason, I thought that was maybe did he do the second one?
There's a sequel?
No, the same Roland Emmerich. Yeah, no. Yeah, I did enjoy Independence Day.
Or Men in Black.
Yes.
But the first one. Second one, and the third one. Eh.
Is the third one, or is there a fourth one? Is the fourth one the one that just came out, like, I don't know, 10 years ago or so?
The one that they go back in time?
Yeah.
I think so, yeah.
I like that one. I did. I'm kind of a sucker. I did like it.
Okay, fair enough. Fair enough. Okay.
But now, Tommy Lee Jones. Like, there's very little that you can't like Tommy Lee Jones in.
I mean, yeah, but I mean, I understand where you're coming from. I totally get that one. But you know, like, to me, if a film, it's great. If one film was great, leave it like that. You know, it was good. Leave us with the great memories we enjoy, and that's it. And then switch to other stuff, and that's fine. Because, for example, when they release, I mean, and that's my personal opinion, but when they release John Wick, like the first one is brilliant. Yeah. It's amazing. It's beautiful. But then the second one, I'm like, okay, here we go again. And the third one, I'm like, you gotta. And then the fourth one, I was like, okay, this is, you know, this has to stop at some point, you know, because I don't know. I mean, it tends to kind of lose his essence. And I hate when big corporations, in order to get like big, you know, yeah, in order to get like the big bucks, the big money, they will reuse those franchises and put them back again. Yeah. So then people, because of the nostalgia, or maybe because they thought that it was a cool one, was like, if the first one was a really cool one, the second one must be really amazing. And perhaps it was, but you know, like whenever they do that, I'm like, why? You know, with the Fast and Furious, the same thing happened. The first one was super cool, the second one, meh. But then it went into this whole crazy franchise, and I mean, I got lost in the
enough is enough
fourth or fifth one, I think. And now whenever they release a new one, I'm like, okay, here we go again, you know. And there's some people who loved it, and that's totally fine by them, but at least to me, I grew up with the whole neon stuff on the car, you know, and like putting stickers on the cars, and then that looked cool, you know, and the crazy colors with the mix and lights everywhere, beneath and up and everywhere, you know, and the stereotype and the screens everywhere, you know, you will see screens everywhere, you know, things like that. But again, that's my personal opinion. I mean, I know there's a lot of people who enjoy the whole 9 films out of them, and that's fine by them. But at least to me, yeah, you know.
No, and there's very few, you know, sequels or series after the first one that can really take on what that first one did, right?
Totally.
Like Super Troopers. I love Super Troopers. Like, that is a movie that I can recite lines from, and probably most people can as well.
Yeah.
Super Troopers 2, I think it was, Super Troopers 1 was so good.
Mm-hmm.
And there was so much hype onto number 2 that it'll never bring what number 1 did. Sorry, Broken Lizard. I love you guys. But yeah, like it's tough. There's a lot of pressure too, right? Mm-hmm. If you have an original that is done as well, that it has, you know, the following and whatnot, then there's a lot of pressure to try to bring something else that will match that. And either you have to basically continue that story on and keep it very, very similar, which can get old, or you have to do something completely different and just hope that that picks up. But I don't know, off the top of my head, I can't, I know there is one sequel for sure that is very, you know, that is just as good as the original, but I can't think of it at the moment. But not very many. Like, you can't, they don't stand up.
Yeah, I mean, why not spending that money and creating something new? You know, I would appreciate that like a lot more. And I think people will too. Or if you're going to make a sequel, perfect. But at least, I don't know, think it twice. Because as you mentioned, yeah, there are some pretty good sequels. Like, for example, the Lord of the Rings franchise, for example, like the trilogy, the second and third one, they're amazing. I love them. The Hobbit too. They're pretty cool. They're pretty cool films. But yet again, I mean,
you have a story you're following there, right? Like that's already predetermined, right? Mm-hmm. So that's understandable because it's continuing the story on, right? But when you have something that's just original, that doesn't come from a book, that doesn't come from something that's, you know, it's tough.
Yeah. Like also the Harry Potter franchise, for example, they did 7 films, but they actually pretty cool because as you mentioned, there is a whole set of books there in which they continue going with the story. And then when the films got out, you were like, oh, that's pretty cool. So, you know, like, I think those type of, I mean, when you're about to do those type of sagas that's perfect. But at least make sure there's like a perfect path so people can follow through, you know? Yeah. So.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. Now, the last two here. So for the next one, we have Life is Beautiful. Have you watched that film?
No, is that not an old one as well? How old is that one?
That one is from 1997.
Oh, Life is Beautiful. Who's in that one?
That one. All right, so it's an Italian film.
Mm-hmm. It's an Italian film?
Mm-hmm.
I probably have not watched it, no.
The actors are Roberto Benigni, Nicoletta Bracci, and Giorgio Cantarini.
I love the accent. Nope, I have not heard of that. I did watch one.
Actually that film. I love that film. So check. So it's basically, I'm gonna tell you a little bit about it. So it's this family. You know, it's this family who were in the middle of the World War II. You know, so World War II started, and then they separate. They separate the wife to a different, you know, to a different camp, and then the father and the son, they go to another camp. But during that whole film, his father, in order for his son, because he's little, in order for his son to not see, you know, like the raw and cruel side of war and humanity, like all of that, he finds a way to make sure that his son think that they're playing a game.
Oh.
So like during this whole, so like during the whole film, his father is doing the best as he can so the kid doesn't know that he's actually living in the worst conditions, in a very bad place, and that he might die. That his father is doing the best he can so the kid cannot like know about it. And whenever he will ask questions like why are they putting us in the same room with, I don't know, with 20 or 30 other people, and then he'll be like, yeah, because this is, you know, this is like a game here, and whoever walks away is gonna lose, and if we stay here, we're gonna earn extra points, you know, like things like that. So it's like the story how a father do his best to make sure that his son doesn't see like his, like the whole cruelty and everything that they are going through at that moment. So that was a pretty cool one.
Yeah, actually that sounds like a very amazing.
Yeah, it's emotional. Sure. Emotional as hell, but it's a good one.
Yeah.
Yeah, I did watch that film with my father once and we both start crying.
No.
Yeah, that was like that was like super similar. Like when I turned around, he was also tearing up, and I was like, yeah, it hit me too. Dad, it hit me too.
Yeah. It's okay.
It's okay. I got you. So yeah, that was a really good one. You should definitely see it whenever you get the time. I mean, it's an oldie, but it's definitely like a good one. So for sure. All right. And my last question. If we could make a film out of the episode we just did right now, you know what is going to happen. We need a title. Go for it.
Oh, Natasha's terrible memory.
Sure.
No, that's
Take your time.
I don't know. See, I feel like that list kind of made me look very, very bad. Natasha doesn't know much about movies. You don't like that one.
No.
No, no, what do you think?
I'm thinking of one. So it could be...
Natasha loves the 90s movies.
Or... 90s vibe? No. That sounds like a sitcom. That doesn't sound good.
Why not? Maybe. It might attract people. Natasha's 90s vibes.
Natasha's 90s vibes.
Yeah.
You sure?
I don't know. I'm not sure about anything.
Okay. What about, let's see. Let's find something quick. Let's see. So it was films, yes.
Natasha's Film Hour.
Or Natasha's Film Special.
Films Hour. Film. Yeah, Natasha's Film Special.
We've got a title. That's going to be the title then.
There you go.
We got it here. I mean, at the end,
finally, we got it.
Yeah, we got it. Then at the end, what can I say, Natasha? I mean, I love what you do. I love your career here, and I love the fact that you are pursuing things here and there, that you're making things happen. Let me just tell you that whenever I have like those days, it happened that I want to quit. If I open up my Instagram and I see there is a story of you creating something, or you being on a new project, or you being on this cover for this magazine, or things like that, it shows it. It gets inspirational here because it's like, hey, she's doing it. She's making things happen. What the hell am I doing with my time right now? Get up and you know, keep working too. You know, it's incredible what you do. And I can understand how challenging and difficult and annoying and stressful might be sometimes, but you're making it happen. And I think that's proven enough for everyone around here, for everyone who's watching this for sure, to be like, if she's doing it, she's making things happen, I can do it too. What the hell am I doing with my life? So.
Thank you. Thank you so much. I really, really appreciate it. Because like you say, this industry is hard, and we get hard on ourselves, right? And totally. I don't think we appreciate our own wins enough. We downgrade them. As soon as we get something, I know for me, and I've spoken to other actor friends, it's the same. As soon as the win comes our way, we immediately go, oh, well, you know, it can't be that big because they gave it to me. And so sometimes we just need people to slap us across the face a little bit and say, no, like, smarten up. And it means a lot when you can be inspiring to somebody else, because there's other people too that we look, you know, that I look out and it inspires me as well. So I'm glad I can do that for other people too. That it means a lot, for
yeah.
sure.
Yeah. I mean, you were in a music video. Are you kidding me? That's like super badass. I mean, I would wish to be on like any music video at this point, but you were there, you know. We basically can see you like the whole video, you know, because like the whole time we see you is not like we see you only like a glance and be like, oh, that's her hair, things like that, you know.
Yeah.
We see you the whole time. I mean, that's pretty cool. You were in the cover for a magazine, you know? I mean, I would love to be on the cover for the newspaper, you know, like something like that, you know? So, I mean, I can understand, of course, because it happens to me sometimes too, that whenever someone will be telling me like, oh, you interviewed this guy or you have done around 500 interviews and things like that. And I tend to do the exact same thing, be like, yeah, but, you know, I mean, it's good, but, you know, in which... I started to think about that the other day, to be like, no, I should be really proud, because it took hours. It took a lot of time for me to be able to create all of these different interviews and meet so many incredible people. I mean, at the end of the day, I mean, I have met more people this past 2 years than in my whole life. I'm not kidding you. And the best thing is that I have met talented people who I can rely and I can get inspired instantly whenever I got like those feelings. And that is also like the cool thing about actors, that even though, for example, that I'm a total outsider because I'm no actor at all or have any nothing, basically, it's interesting how sometimes you guys will back me up on something, or like in a very difficult situation or anything, you guys will come instantly kind of send me cheers or good vibes and things like that. That's pretty cool. And that is like also one of the things that I ended up discovering, that some people think that actors are like this capricious types of people, you know, like very snob and things like that. And no, you actually are one of the most nicest people ever. I mean, of course, there are some bad people like everywhere, but at least to me, I've been blessed with the opportunity to meet incredible, amazing people. And that is something that I tend to repeat myself in my head every day and be like, I might not have this huge Joe Rogan style podcast platform. I might not have it right now. At some point I will, for sure. But hey, I have the opportunity to meet so many people and have created so many incredible connections with people from either Canada or China or Slovenia, England, Germany, like from all over the world. And I think when you get the chance to know people, like when you get the chance to know their stories and you get the chance to be a part of their lives, even for quite, I don't know, 20, 30 minutes, I think that's mm-hmm. when you realize that that it doesn't matter where we're from. If we're pursuing the same thing, it's like, you know, so.
Yeah, that
was my.
Don't be so hard on yourself.
Yeah, there you go. That was my preaching moment. And
But
anyway, at the end, thank you so much for doing what you do. Keep killing it. Keep being this incredible, of amazing, of a badass, of a superstar, of a legendary person you always are. And also, I want to thank those for watching this. Thank you so much. Now, you know, as I said in the beginning, in the description below, you're going to find all of Natasha's social media. Let's make it viral, as I said in the beginning. Let's continue this trend. And again, Natasha, thank you so much for making this happen. Keep killing it. Keep being this incredible, of amazing, of a badass mom and actress and person you always are. And I'll be seeing you in the next one.
Thank you.
All right.